testimony of every person who's confessed Jesus Christ as Lord. We should sing it to the housetops. Thank you. Let us turn to the Gospel of Isaiah, please. There is more gospel in the prophecy of Isaiah than in any other of the Old Testament books, and probably more than most New Testament books. You could really call it the Gospel according to Isaiah. Chapter 55. And the last time I spoke on a Sunday morning after the meeting, Brother Dennis McKinnon said, if you can't preach the gospel from Isaiah, you can't preach the gospel. Isaiah chapter 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord, while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank thee for thy word, the written word of God. We have not heard thy voice audibly, but we thank thee that we have the written word, and we have the Holy Spirit within to guide us, and he takes of the things of Christ and reveals them unto us. We ask for thy help this morning. We ask that from thy word, a message of hope will be given to any person here today who has no hope and whose life is empty and void, and they have perhaps thirsted but never found that to quench their thirst. Speak to our hearts. We ask it in the name for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to say one word. I want you to raise your hand and tell me what you think of, what's the first thing that comes into your mind when I say that word. Thirst. Exactly. Drink. Water. Thirst. Water. Have you ever really been thirsty? I mean, really thirsty? Your tongue swollen, your mouth dry, you couldn't even form spittle. I had an experience as a child. I used to go in the field with my dad. We'd take a demijohn, because you don't know what a demijohn is. It's a bottle that's encased in wicker, so that, you know, putting it down on the sharp rocks, it wouldn't break. We took a gallon of water every day that we went into the field. The sun was hot. Sitting out in the open field, reading, whatever. And then, gathering some produce, had to put it in a basket, put it on your head, and take it out to the waterfront. And on the way out, I got really thirsty. So on the way back, I was looking for a pothole that man had water in. I found one. But along with water, it had leaves, moss, frogs, tadpoles, and a large snake who was bathing and soaking himself in that hole. You say, that would turn my stomach. Thirst or no thirst, I would go on. I didn't. I was thirsty. I felt as if I would die if I didn't drink some water. I got a stick, and I scraped the moss away. And with that stick, I poked the snake and made him get out of the hole. I took a grape leaf, split it halfway down the middle, foamed a cup, scraped away the moss and the leaves and the tadpoles and the frogs, and I dipped it into the water, and I drank. You know, I did that a number of times during my early days. And I'd come down with fever a week later, and my mother didn't know, how did I get this fever? And I didn't know. I didn't even remember. But I experienced thirst that day. And the only thing that I wanted, the only thing in life I wanted, was water to quench my thirst. Today we're going to be talking about a spiritual thirst, a soul thirst. Have you ever had a soul thirst? For satisfaction. Have you ever looked at your life and said, what is life all about? Is it worth it? Why am I here? Why am I doing this? What can I find? What can I do to bring me satisfaction, comfort, and joy? Have you really had soul thirst? There's only one who can satisfy and quench soul thirst. And that's God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have just sung, I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but the waters failed. Even as I stooped to drink, they fled and mocked me as I wailed. You've tried the weak and beggarly things of earth for us. You've looked for satisfaction. You've looked for something to quench that thirst, that desire. That wasn't a physical desire. That was a spiritual desire. That was a spiritual thirst. a thirst that came from deep within your soul for complete satisfaction. As you look back over your life and you remember the things that you have tried, no need for me to name them. You know the things that you've tried to bring you complete satisfaction, joy, peace in your soul. And you haven't found it. I'm here to tell you today that there's hope for you. There is hope for you. Satisfaction and peace and a quenching of that thirst is to be found. But it's found in a person. It's not found in things. Things can never satisfy soul thirst. Soul thirst can only be satisfied, can only be quenched by a person. And that's our Lord Jesus Christ. The word ho is a word that's used in the Bible to call attention to someone or something that is very, very important. It's the two middle letters of the word behold. And the word behold also is to call attention to someone or something that is very, very important. John the Baptist said, behold, look, be interested. Put your eyes upon the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so when God says, ho, he wants you to sit up and take notice. Ho, everyone that thirsts. Now, if you've never felt soul thirst, if you've never had that spiritual need, if you've never had that craving, that longing for complete satisfaction, maybe you won't listen. But God's call to us today is, ho, everyone that thirsty, come ye to the waters. This call is far more important than your mother's call at supper time. Maybe you remember. I remember as a child being out on the playing field, the ball field, you know, and I could hear my mother call, you know, as the crow flies, probably 1,000 to 1,500 feet away. But I could hear her call because somehow my ears were attuned to her voice. And I knew it was getting towards supper time. So this call is far more important than your mother's call at supper time. That was to satisfy the cravings of the stomach. That was physical food. Today we're talking about spiritual water, a spiritual thirst, and spiritual water that can quench that spiritual thirst. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. In Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve had another need. They had disobeyed God and they found themselves to be naked. They needed clothing. They needed to cover their nakedness because they knew that God was coming into the garden. Today, we're talking about another need. Soul thirst and living water that can quench that thirst. God met the need of Adam and Eve. They sewed fig leaves together, made themselves aprons to hide their nakedness. And when God called Adam, "Where art thou?" He says, "I was afraid and I hid myself." And the whole story came out. God is calling you today. If you've never responded to the gospel of the grace of God, if you've never come to Him to drink of that living water, God is calling you today. And He wants to quench that thirst in your soul. He met the need of Adam and Eve that day. He slew animals, provided coverings of skin to cover their nakedness. And just as He met the need of Adam and Eve, He can meet your need today. I have no hesitation in telling you that the grace of God can meet your spiritual need. No matter what it is, how great you think it is, what a craving that you have, the grace of God, the living water, can meet your need, can quench that thirst. Hebrews 4 and 12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." But then he goes on to say, "For we are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." In God's sight, we are all naked. All of our sin, all of our unrighteousness, all of our wickedness, all of our wayward ways, is as an open book before God. We are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. And we have to do with God, either in time or in eternity. And so, God has given us His Word. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it will pierce, it will divide, it will reveal, it will open up. And it will bring the answer and fulfill the need, whether it be nakedness or whether it be thirst. God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, can meet that need. And so God's call today is to the thirsty. Ho, everyone that thirsteth. We can go through life and perhaps not feel a need of God and Christ in our lives. We can put on religion. We can make amends. We can begin to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. And we may begin to feel, well, I've made it. I'm good enough. This is all that's required. No. There has to be an admission on the part of every individual. I'm naked before God. I am thirsty. My soul is crying out for satisfaction. And that's the point that you have to come to in order to drink of the living water. If Adam and Eve had kept their fig leaf aprons, God would never have clothed them. They had to discard them, and God clothed them with raiment that was fitting. In John's Gospel, chapter 4, the Lord Jesus is passing through the country of Samaria. He stops at a well called Jacob's Well. Why did he stop there? Well, he knew that a woman was coming to draw water. She came to draw water at an hour when women do not come to draw water. They either come early in the morning or late in the afternoon when it's cool, not in the middle of the day. The woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus asked for a drink. And so the conversation went on. And the Lord told her, he says, he asked for a drink, and she said, well, I don't even have a bucket to draw water, and the well is deep. Jesus said, if you knew who I was, you would ask of me for living water. So the woman says, well, I have nothing to draw with from this well. What about that living water? And then the Lord Jesus begins to teach her. He says, I'm sure pointing down the well, he says, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Imagine having a well inside of you and not having to come to this well every day to fill your water pot. The Lord Jesus is the answer to man's thirst. If you're really thirsty, if you're really crying out for satisfaction, if you're really seeking that peace from God, the Lord Jesus is the answer. We read about this woman that she left her water pot. She had a different water pot from what she brought to the well. She had a water pot of immorality in her life. That was the bigger water pot that she had. She not only left the one that she brought to draw water, she left the other as well. She went back into the city and she said, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? So he gave her a well of water springing up into everlasting life. He gave her a satisfaction that she need not go back to a life of immorality again. Her thirst was quenched. No matter what it is in your life, no matter what the water pot is, that which you carry with you every day of your life and dip from the pleasures of the world in order to satisfy your thirst. To drink of the living water given by the Lord Jesus is like receiving a well within you that takes away the desire for that which you use your water pot for. And that thirst is quenched. Our souls revive and we live in Him. When I was a lad in Sunday school, we used to sing chorus. I've known it for years. I'm feeding on the living bread. I'm drinking at the fountainhead. And whoso drinketh, Jesus said, shall never thirst again. What? Never thirst again? No. Never thirst again. What? Never thirst again? No. Never thirst again. And whoso drinketh, Jesus said, shall never thirst again. I have staked my eternal destiny upon the truth of words like that. That Christ is the answer. Christ brings the satisfaction to a life that cannot be found in anything in this world. No matter the water pot that you use, no matter what you're drawing from, it cannot and will not, will never satisfy. O Christ, in thee my soul hath found, and found in thee alone, the peace, the joy I sought so long, the bliss till now unknown. Now none but Christ can satisfy, none under the name for me, this love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. He is indeed the answer. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, and they crossed through the Red Sea, they went 3 days' journey into the wilderness and found no water. Then they came to the waters of Marah. Marah means bitter. And they couldn't drink of those waters. And God said to Moses, because the people were murmuring and complaining and they were just about ready to turn on Moses and go back to Egypt. And God said to Moses, you see that tree over there? Take that tree and cast it into the waters. And Moses took that tree, threw it into the waters of Marah, and they were made sweet. Who's the tree? What's the tree? Who's the tree? The tree is Christ. Even back then, it was Christ. How do I know? Well, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, the Lord Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and there are people following him, and they're crying, they're weeping. And he turns around and he said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For the days are coming when they will say, blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. And then he said these words, if they do these things in the green tree, what shall be done in the dry? What things? He was going up to Jerusalem to be mocked and to be crucified. And he says, if they do these things in the green tree, what shall be done in the dry? He was the green tree. Israel was the dry tree. Their eyes were blinded. They did not know who he was. A few here and there, yes. But as a nation, they misunderstood him. They stumbled over him. But he was the green tree. Green tree speaks of life, vitality, fruit, fruitfulness. And the tree that Moses threw into the waters and made them sweet spoke of Christ. And he came and he fulfilled that. He says, I'm the green tree. And then they nailed him to a tree. I want you to see in him your satisfaction. I want you to see him who can quench your thirst, who can relieve you of that desire for the weak and beggarly elements of the world. Whatever your water pot is, whatever you're drawing from, can meet that need. He can bring satisfaction. He can quench that thirst. He's the green tree, can make the bitter water sweet. And only He. In Matthew chapter 5, we have the Beatitudes, beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. And He says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And I understand the force of the word there. They. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. They only shall be filled. They only. Only those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Only those who hunger and thirst for the living water, for the water of life. Only those who hunger and thirst for Christ. They and they only will be saved. You can try any and everything else in the world, but they will not satisfy. They will not gain you an entrance into heaven. Christ is the only way. He's the only one who can bring complete satisfaction. Not many days after the Mara experience, they needed more water. They murmured again. They grumbled and complained. "What is this? You brought us out of Egypt. You told us we were going to a land of milk and honey. Look at this. Wilderness. Thirst." And God showed Moses a rock. I understand the force of the meaning is a low-lying rock. And God said to Moses, "The rod that you smote the river with, take that rod and smite the rock." And Moses took his rod and he smote the rock, and the waters came forth. What has that to do with Christ? Come with me over to Paul's letter to the Corinthians, first letter, chapter 10. He says, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning our fathers that all passed through the waters into the cloud. They were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the waters. They did all eat that same spiritual meat, and they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. I don't know yet how the rock followed them." That's what he says. They drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Did that rock follow them every step of the way? I have a feeling that the water from the rock did. I don't know. Can you imagine trekking through the desert and seeing this stream of water coming behind you every day? Is there a Christian in the audience today and your water has run dry? You cannot find satisfaction any longer in Christ? Shame on us. They drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. He's not just good for the day that you believe on Him. Not just good for the moment you confess Jesus Christ as Lord. He's good for every day. They drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. He'll meet your need every day of your life. He'll bring satisfaction to you. Here's His Word. He's not here in person, but He's given us His Word. And He's placed within every believer, every person who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ and is saved, receives the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God in our hearts, and the Word of God in our hands, we need not be thirsty. We need not turn again to the weak and beggarly elements of the world. There is abundance in Christ. There is more than we need, more than we can ever absorb into our beings. He can fill, He can flood, He can overwhelm the soul. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't preach it. There will be no need to go back to those old water pots, to those old watering holes, where the frogs and the tadpoles and the snakes and the leaves are. We won't ever need to go back there. Now none but Christ can satisfy, none other name for me. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, the Lord Jesus told of a rich man who had more than his heart could wish. He didn't need the Lord. He didn't need Christ. His crops brought forth plentifully. He had no room. His barns were filled to overflowing, and he had nowhere to put his fruits. And he said, I know what I'll do. I'll build new, bigger barns. And I'll there bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said, thou fool. He mistook his body for his soul. He says, I'll say to my soul, eat, drink, and be merry. You cannot feed your soul on earthly things. Your soul is a spiritual part of you. It can never be satisfied by earthly things. He mistook his body for his soul. He mistook time for eternity. He says, you've much goods laid up for many years. Listen. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf. Be in time. This life is going to end. We don't know when. It can end so suddenly. It may drag on for years. But this life will end. So don't let's mistake time for eternity. This is not eternity. This is time. It will end. But then there is eternity. Where are we going to spend it? That man was a fool. The Lord Jesus called him a fool. Thou fool, this night thy soul should be required of thee. You may drink at the world's fountain. You may eat of the world's goods. But you'll never satisfy the hunger. You'll never quench the soul thirst. What your soul is thirsting for is a spiritual element. And that spiritual element is Christ, the living bread and the living water. He only can satisfy. has there ever been a time in your life when you had such a craving for satisfaction, for peace? To come to a point in your life when you did not need to depend upon a worldly element. I pray that today you will come to that point and realize that any and everything in this world can only satisfy the flesh, and that for a limited time. But the craving of the soul, the thirst of the soul, the hunger of the soul can only be satisfied, can only be met in Jesus Christ. He met the need of his people in years gone by. He met the need of some during the time he was on earth. He has met the need of others during this dispensation, this day of grace. And I'm here to tell you today that he can meet your need. You may think that you are so dependent upon this water pot that you carry, that you would not be able to hold out as a Christian. I'm here to tell you that he satisfieth, as the psalmist said, he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Many of us here today can testify to that. Millions throughout the world. And I have confidence in my God. I have confidence in my Christ that he can meet your need just as he has met the need of millions before. If you have a thirst, thirst for the living waters, cry out to God, cry out to the Lord Jesus, and by faith open your heart, your life, surrender your whole being, spirit, soul, and body, and allow him to come in, to flood your soul, to meet your need, to cleanse your sin, and to make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Will you do it today? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank thee for the ability of our Lord Jesus Christ to meet the needs of every individual who in simple faith will put his or her trust in him. We pray for those here today who have never yielded their lives completely to the Lord Jesus. And we pray that some will be willing to surrender their all to him today. That if they are thirsting, really thirsting for the living waters, they're thirsting for soul satisfaction, they will drink at the fountainhead. They will have that well of living water springing up into their soul. They will never need to go back to the water holes of life. Speak to some heart, Lord, and bless thy word to us. We ask it in the name of